We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
All hell's broken loose here. I walk in and the former Attorney General of the United States is in the building, I think. Is that what Bill Barr was?
That's what he was.
Is that him?
Yeah, that was him.
I asked him if he wanted to do sports talk radio instead today. I said, let's talk a little baseball. He said he likes the Yankees. Always has. Said he likes, he says Mickey Mantle's his favorite player. I said, my former colleague, Ron Cook, I figured they may know each other, thought Mickey Mantle was the greatest all-around player of all time.
Well, Ron saw Babe Ruth play, so it might be different.
And I think, I think Bill Barr agreed with that. I think he agreed with Ron. He's the first person to agree with Ron in decades. No Paul today. Just me and City Limits and IT. We have so many treats here for you. JP Roofing and Siding. Off the top, the reshaping of the Penguins. Paul Skeens tomorrow. Are we talking, this might seem funny, are we talking enough about that? Blake Hinson to the Lakers. Tony Rasiopi sounding off. Pickett's old his current quarterback coach. He feels like the old quarterback's coach because Kenny Pickett's not here. But we begin today with the fact that it's Anger Management Friday. And of course, we usually need Paul for that because he leads the way in that respect. He's even angrier than me on a daily basis. And I have good reason to be angry today on several fronts that I'm going to get into. Did I mention JP Roofing and Siding brings to us off the top today? I think JP is on his way to golf at Pheasant Ridge. Where he's liable to encounter one Jim Colony, who's the starter there sometimes. I think he's a part-time starter, kind of like Luis Ortiz. He's a part-time starter. You ready, City Limits? Are we ready to go? We have a Friday. What has happened?
Get a life. We actually shoot back a little bit. Now we're the playground bully. Get a life. I found your ass in the gutter with nothing. I'm leaving your ass in the gutter with nothing. Go to the bathroom and don't come back. War. W-A-R. War. I don't think you get the message.
Do you agree with me about Crowley that he has reverse muscles in his arms?
Yes, we had that before.
What are they? There's just like a little stick. He's a stick figure.
The worst physique of any person I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like when little kids draw pictures of stick figures, that's him.
Happy Anger Management Friday, Joe.
And to you and to IT. So we begin, albeit a little bit delayed. We got a delay of game penalty, so we start 5 yards back, but that's okay. I have a problem today with the town of Sewickley. I went there this morning because there's a place that I just discovered called Press Coffee, which I like. And I'm drinking something. I don't know. It feels like I'm drinking shots, but it's only coffee. But it's good. But that's not the point. I pulled up in a parking spot near Press Coffee. And of course, you know, like toll booth where it used to be, I drive up to the toll booth. I hand money. We never see each other again. I drive. You do your job the rest of the day. Now there are no toll booth workers. So now instead of making it easier, it's more difficult. Oh, it feels easy when you drive right through, right? But then it doesn't feel easy when they have to send you a letter with your toll on it, and then you have to fill it out by credit card or write out a check and fill out the whole thing has me perplexed. We're supposed to make things easier with technology. We make them harder. And the same thing is true of parking meters. You used to walk up, put a couple quarters in, you're done. Now it's fill out your license plate first, press start. Here we go. There's a whole process here because you just pulled up to a parking meter. The bottom line here, City Limits, is I put my credit card in a parking meter on, I think it was Broad Street in Sewickley. I did it multiple times. It said credit card not reading, credit card not reading. Okay, Well, I have proof that my credit card is working because I went into Press Coffee and they took my credit card. Then I went into the Rite Aid right next to the parking meter and they took my credit card. I have receipts, as the kids like to say nowadays, that my credit card is working. But the parking meter wouldn't take it. And it would take quarters, actually, but who's carrying around quarters in 2024? So it wouldn't take my credit card. So I said a swear word and walked into the coffee shop and spent an hour there meticulously preparing for this show. When I come back out, what's on my windshield limits?
A ticket.
Yes, a ticket. I don't know how much it's worth because I'm not touching it. I'm leaving it right on that windshield forever. Maybe to be swept away by rain, maybe to be crapped on by a bird. I don't care. I don't care what happens to it. And if it comes down to it in the end, I'm taking the town of Sewickley to court. I'll hear a court case. I'll go in and make my own case, or I'll hire Shenderovich, or Fishman. Maybe I'll just take Fishman with me. Me and Fishman will fight Sewickley. Do I have a case?
I think there's a possibility that you have a case. Now, will you win the case? That might be a little bit up for debate.
The case is simple. I put my credit card in, credit card not readable, multiple times in multiple ways. My credit card was working. I have receipts to show it was working. Your parking meter wouldn't take it. I ain't paying the ticket.
Yeah, if I were you, I would not pay the ticket either, because that's a failure to have their own equipment work properly, so it's not your fault, not your problem.
Right? That's it. Maybe you'll be my lawyer. I'll bring you in. So I'm fighting City Hall, so to speak.
That's right. My cousin, City Limits cousin, City Hall.
That's exactly. Yes. I'm fighting Sewickley. A lot of people are rich out there anyway. They don't need my money.
Yeah, I mean,
they have people riding
around.
What's a $20
ticket?
Yeah, the woman in front of me was driving a Porsche. Hey, come on. Sports writer pulls up in his little Camry, his five-year-old little Camry. And the meter doesn't work. So if it comes down to it, it's going to be a very high-profile, highly publicized court case between the town of Sewickley and myself.
Now, a texter said that you need to get the Pittsburgh parking app. Was that an option that was displayed anywhere?
See, that's the thing. Do I need a toll booth app, too? Actually, I have one. I have the whatever it is. Think about it if you're say, Bill Belichick's age in his 70s.
And dating a 24-year-old.
Right. By the way, City Limits, I was thinking about that today because Kyle Filipowski, right?
Oh, that's in the breakdown today.
Yeah, the Duke kid.
Oh, yeah.
They're accusing he dropped in the draft, apparently, like Aaron Rodgers, right? And teams, at least according to the story I read in the New York Post, are concerned about this girlfriend of his. And according to the report, Filipowski's own family is very wary of this person.
Do you want to talk about it now or save it for the breakdown?
I already am.
Yeah,
am
we'll
I not?
I
mean, we can bring it. It's a different audience later.
Right.
Now anger management is going to be directed toward you, City Limits. You and I are going to wind up going at it.
And
I know you're angry today, too, and I'm going to give you the floor in a moment. But Filipowski, they seem to be accusing this woman of cradle robbing here. She's 26. He's 22. Is there a problem? What's the problem here? I don't see one.
He's 20. She's 28. She was...
She's 20. It's 28, 20?
Yeah.
I thought it was 26. He's not.
No, he's 20.
Okay.
He was only a sophomore this past year.
Well, is that a problem, 28 and 20?
Well, supposedly she was his babysitter years ago as well.
Okay, it's getting weirder.
And that he has been converted... to being a Mormon and has been separated from his family for 2 years. And there's been an email and everything that was sent as basically a goodbye letter to his family that she forced him to write.
Increasingly weirder. I'll acknowledge that. And there's word that NBA teams might be concerned about this.
And that's probably why he fell to the second round.
I don't know where he did go. Yeah, you know.
The Utah Jazz.
Exactly.
He's
going to show up at camp with 11 wives. This is unbelievable. So in a roundabout way, I come back to this. Will you reconsider perhaps asking the narrator from Titanic, Rose, on a date in the spirit of Belichick?
No, because 8 years is different than 80 years.
Yes,
so I think I'll have to pass.
All right. I like that. I can't believe Utah drafted him. That's incredible. But you know as well as me, if he was a top five talent in the draft, they wouldn't have cared.
He'd still be picked.
If he had 11 wives, they wouldn't care. He'd be picked.
Well, after his freshman year, many thought that he was going to definitely be a first-round draft pick, maybe even
slip into
the lottery.
I'll tell you that much. I don't like him. Remember he ripped Blake Hinson for standing on the scorer's
on the table,
table?
Yeah, and
Duke,
yelling at the Cameron Crazies.
Yeah, he basically said that's their Super Bowl. So words to that effect, and we'll get revenge on him. You know, come on. You want to have that type of environment, awesome. It's a great environment. But when people beat you and it's his last time ever to play at Duke, you give them their props and you let them celebrate, Fulzy. What are we even talking about?
Anger management Friday.
You have the floor now. You said you were angry this morning. I've never even seen you angry. What's on your mind?
Tell me, Dan, please. I can't take it anymore.
You know, I saw that Donnie is going to be golfing today and he's off. And... you know, Donnie is a first-time golfer.
Donnie disappointed me at the Green Tree Marathon, Telethon, Radiothon, whatever it was called.
By what?
By not being more of a party animal. He had that reputation. He's Donnie Football. He's supposed to be the tailgate master, the tailgate general. And instead, he played it very cool. He played like a general. He played like I'm in charge. He played like a boss. I expected to be partying with him in the dorm room, and he was the RA instead.
Yeah.
He was the guy at the end of the hallway making sure everybody was in check.
He was the guy looking out of the corner of his eye to make sure everyone behaved.
What happened to Donnie Football? And now he's golfing. Anyway, I interrupted
well,
you.
Well, and now he's golfing, and my point is, Donnie is a first-time golfer. I have golfed before. When people say, do you golf? I say, I have, but I'm not very good at it. Like, I've not golfed well.
Yeah.
And my inability to golf, basically hitting the ball off the tee, is what frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah,
like, I slice everything. The only thing I'm good at is putting.
I've invented swear words in golf that are worse than the worst swear words. They're combinations of like eight of them. Every time I hit a ball like that or put it in the woods, two poor guys. One was the basketball coach, is the basketball coach at Geneva. The other one's the basketball coach, boys basketball coach, I think, at Riverside. They got stuck with me the other day, and we were having a happy front nine. I was playing kind of well, and then everything went awry on hole number nine. And I went, you know, full John Tortorella at a news conference, and everything changed. But please, city limits, proceed.
I am good on a golf course at putting, but on a mini golf course, I always finish last when my friends and I go. It makes no sense to me. Donnie's going to go and start golfing. There's probably Malzie's probably going to get him all these coaches from all the best around the area. He'll probably have an Oakmont coach soon. And then there'll be little old me still not knowing how to golf properly because I can't get my swing down.
I'll take you out. Zeiss and I should say, will take you out. We'll get you over to Eddie Vittmeyer for a couple lessons. We'll have you shaped up in no time. And then...
I'll need that.
And then... we can have inner show competitions.
Yes.
Me and you against Malzie and Donnie. Do you like that idea?
And we could bring Paul along. IT's a very good golfer.
IT's a ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that. Do three on threes.
Do you think he's a six handicap or a two handicap?
What handicap are you, IT?
Like 7-8.
7-8? That's really good.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know what my handicap will be looking like. It'd probably be closer to my age than anything good.
He'll bat leadoff. Speaking of, what's her name? Who's dating Belichick?
I don't know
Hudson?
Her name.
Not Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Aniston?
No, that would still be 50 or 40 plus years.
About that.
She pulled up to cheerleading practice in a white Porsche that it's rumored to have been a gift from boyfriend Bill Belichick. And the New York Post cites a source saying, quote, it's easy to see that Bill could become infatuated with her. She's young and attractive and interesting. I don't know what she wants from him. End of quote. I do. Things like white Porsches. What? This source doesn't know what she wants from him?
How about cars? Houses?
Money?
A boat?
Do you think
money?
She honestly finds him attractive?
No.
Limits?
No, I really don't. But at the same time, the argument can be made that she dated like some 65-year-old dude before dating Belichick.
So if she keeps progressing, her next boyfriend will be 96.
Yes.
Who are we to judge? Some people are saying that. Is there any truth to that? That true love is true love?
You think there's true love going on there? I mean, maybe. I won't put it past Belichick.
I bet you she loves her new Porsche. She loves her new Porsche.
She
I know that.
She loves her money. She loves the new handbags and everything else, all the gifts that she's getting.
Let's get to real sports, shall we? Limitless Wonder?
Yeah, let's do it.
I have so much to talk about today that I don't know where to start. But I'm going to start with this, is the reshaping of the Penguins, if there is going to be a reshaping, could very well begin today, tonight, with the NHL draft. Free agency opens next week. I asked somebody that I trust.
I mean, maybe that's the interpretation inside the locker room and inside the organization for the Penguins, that David Quinn can bring out the best in Erik Karlsson. I'd rather move off of him. Jari would obviously be number one in my mind as well. I'm glad that you've come to this side of the earth, because
when wasn't I on that side of the earth?
I've been saying this for 2 years. Jari's been an all-star, and I've been saying to trade him, and it's, you know.
The next big game Jari wins in Pittsburgh will be his first, okay?
Yes, I don't care about the shutouts.
He melted down in the playoffs against the Islanders. Remember that, an all-time meltdown. And it wasn't just that he assisted on the Islanders' winning goal in one game. It was a meltdown. The next year, he came back against the Rangers in Game 7 and was given plaudits all over the place.
Just for coming back.
Except that he allowed the tying goal late and the winning goal in overtime and had the worst save percentage in that game of any Penguin in that series. And you might recall one of the Penguins in that series ate spiced beef and broccoli. Do you remember
that? Louis Domingue. Oh, yeah.
Louis Domingue. So, and then the next year, they lose to the Blackhawks, who were trying to lose to get Connor Bedard. He lost the biggest game of the year, 5-2 to that team, when the Penguins were trying to reach the playoffs. And finally, this year, even when healthy and even when Nedeljkovic started to struggle down the stretch, his head coach wouldn't turn to Jari, the $27 million man or whatever he is. It was very reminiscent of Mike Tomlin not turning to Pickett. So get Jari out of here. And Kyle Dubas has a lot of leeway and a lot of admirers in Penguins media. He certainly does. He's been portrayed as poor little handcuffed Kyle Dubas. What is he supposed to do? Wah, wah, wah. That's how he's been portrayed in Pittsburgh. What is he can't lose with Penguin media, Kyle Dubas. And what I have to say about that is poor little handcuffed Kyle Dubas made about as many moves and as many big moves as anybody in hockey last year. Poor little handcuffed Kyle Dubas spent tens of millions of dollars. He made the biggest move of the offseason, going out and getting Erik Karlsson. He went out and signed Riley Smith. He signed a goaltender for $20+ million. He signed Ryan Graves to a big deal. He reshaped his bottom six. A lot of people would like to be handcuffed like that. So he's going to get the benefit of the doubt no matter what. I wonder how many moves he has left in him, because it's going to have to get even more dramatic and he's going to have to do even more work because of the bind that he put himself in now. And would I approach Karlsson? Absolutely, I would. Would I approach Malkin? Yes, for sure. I don't think it'll do any good. I don't think Malkin wants to go anywhere, and maybe Karlsson doesn't either, but yes, I certainly would approach them.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
And the reshaping begins with trading Jari. I think bringing back Nedeljkovic was the first sign of that, the sign of that, I should say. And if you have to go with him and Blomqvist, the kid, do that. If you have to bring in another low-priced veteran, do that, because Jari's not going to give you a performance that he's not going to put up numbers that are appreciably better than Nedeljkovic and another vet, or Nedeljkovic and Blomqvist. It's not worth it. Jumping around here, did you see Mitch Morse was on a podcast saying why he preferred Jacksonville over the Steelers?
I did not.
Limitless Wonder? Yes, he was. And he was very nice, said he loved the Steelers, loved Tomlin, loved everybody, but I couldn't help but notice he didn't sign here. And when he said why, he mentioned the weather in Jacksonville, and he mentioned the quarterback. And he mentioned the quarterback.
Because he signed early in the offseason.
Another false narrative out there is that everybody in the world wants to play for Tomlin, except the guys who come here and then quit because of Tomlin in the middle of games, I guess. But that's beside the point. The quarterback is the key. And I don't blame him for going and playing with Trevor Lawrence. Do you? Because I think Trevor Lawrence, while he was slightly disappointing last year, is still a guy who's going to be around for a long time and win a lot of games. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm a big Trevor Lawrence fan. I think he's better than Russell Wilson. He's clearly better than Justin Fields, at least right now.
Yeah.
And that's the type of guy that can carry an organization. And maybe it's a supporting cast that needs to be a little bit better around him, but Lawrence is one of those upper echelon quarterbacks. He's not Allen, Mahomes, or Burrow, but he's in that next tier for me.
I want to talk about this NFL lawsuit coming up, and my favorite part of it is that a bar called the Mucky Duck may eventually, 9 years later, force the NFL to fork over like $14 billion. Like, this is not just some little lawsuit where the league pays $70 million, which is like a nickel to you or me. This thing is worth billions and billions of dollars, this DirecTV thing. But I'm going to get into that in a little while. Let's talk about one of the all-time cases of sports nepotism here with Bronny James going to the Lakers. I mean, this is incredible. Part of me thinks it's going to be really cool to see a star with his son, like Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr., right? But the problem here is that LeBron is clearly running the Lakers, that this kid probably doesn't get drafted without his dad intervening, and that, oh, by the way, the new head coach does a podcast with LeBron. Like, so why not just, and I don't say this facetiously because it's worked in the NBA before, Bill Russell won as a player coach. Why not just make LeBron the top assistant or the head coach and the GM?
No player has ever had as much power as an active player than LeBron James telling the Lakers to draft his son and make his buddy the head coach. No one.
Here's what I wonder. Is it good for Bronny? Like, it's going to be cool for LeBron. If you're Bronny, and I don't know, you know, is this your dream too? To get on a court with your dad? To have daddy at work every day? It doesn't seem great for the kid. Because anything he ever does, people are going to say that's because of your dad. And maybe that would be true if he even wasn't with the Lakers, but then at least you forge your own path, right?
I think his path is probably more linear with the Lakers than if he went somewhere else, because if it wasn't for LeBron and the name, he would not have been drafted.
Would he even have been
in the G League? Like,
Think everybody in that locker room is going to cast a suspicious eye on Bronny?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Once he's on the team and once he gets in games, will they think it's cooler? Maybe they will. I don't know. It seems weird to me.
Because he is not good enough talent-wise right now, at least what he's shown in college, to be worthy of a spot on an NBA roster. And do you think the Lakers are going to put him in the G League maybe to start the season? LeBron's not going to have that happen. By Christmas, he will be on the Lakers, on the bench, maybe play a couple minutes per game. But he's going to take a roster spot from somebody, and that's who's going to be mad about it.
I'm just picturing like the moment when it happens. Like, a kid from the G League comes in, and LeBron and his son play. And it's very emotional, and it's a historic moment. And all that. But then what for the kid? Then what? And again, is that his dream or his dad's dream? I don't know, man. And I'm, by the way, have tons of respect for LeBron for because he's great. And also because he's always showed up, you know, until very late in his career. And now it's very late. He's never been a load management guy. Like, if he's on the road and you go up to watch LeBron, you pay for a ticket, you're going to get him and you're going to get him playing his ass off. When he was in his prime.
When he was in his prime, yeah. Recently, not as much.
Well, he's 80 years old.
Right. That is on my bucket list to see him and Curry play before they retire.
Then let's go to Cleveland next season.
Well, I will. 1,000%
I did that last year. I went and saw Curry play in Cleveland last year because it was on my bucket list.
Yeah. I mean, Curry's my favorite NBA player.
And the best part of it all was watching his warm-up routine. That's a show in and of itself.
Shooting from the tunnel?
Everything, man. Yeah, shooting from the tunnel, the dribbling drills he does, even the stretching he does. It's just different than anybody else. All right. I want to talk about skeins, too, but we have to run for the moment. Lots to talk about today. Ray Fittipaldo coming up at 11 o'clock. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I'll tell you this much, Ace, it feels like the Pirates season remains at a crossroads. Here's my fear with the Pirates, as I break my own rule and keep going, is that they get swept in Atlanta, that they suddenly falter, and Bob Nutting and Charrington, especially Nutting, decide, you know what? We showed enough this year to where the off seasons where we'll take advantage of all this pitching. We gave everybody a little taste, you know? It's like writing a column. You just want to give them enough to want some more. Don't give them everything right away, because then they become very hard to satisfy. Leave them wanting more. Now we're 6.5 games out. Let's just do this. Let's sell off a couple people and regroup for next year. You know what I mean? And them losing gives him that kind of excuse. So I think it's imperative that they stay right in that wild card race. I'm talking like a game and a half, 2 games out, or I'll be very, very suspicious as to what's happening around the deadline.
Weren't they 4, maybe it might have been 2.5 games out of the division, or it was the wild card when they traded for Archer?
Yes.
So,
and that might make him even more paranoid. He'll just say, you know what? We're too far back. There's too many teams to jump. That type of thing. I'm not saying that's definite. I'm saying that that thought occurred to me this morning, and that going up against the Braves, who despite some injuries are really good, could cause that kind of problem. Like, I wouldn't put it past the Pirates to also go on a significant slide. They feel like they're teetering. They're a team that could get hot and take off. They're also a team that could get really cold and fall off the earth here. What's most likely is that they'll continue to win one, lose two, win three, lose two, win one, you know, that type of thing, like everybody else. I'm just saying that thought occurred to me that you're going into Atlanta, then you have the Cardinals, who are back and ahead of the Pirates again and have become the Cardinals again, and then the Mets, and then at the Brewers. I'm very curious, little limits, to see where we are when we wake up on July 12th and the Pirates are in Chicago against the White Sox. I'm really curious to see where they'll be at that point. They're skipping Jones in the rotation tonight. You know what I mean? That's a big game. I get it. I do understand it. But we're going to have to factor that in as we go along too. Is Skeens next? Do they skip his next start after he pitches Saturday? Wouldn't surprise me a bit to see them skip him here and there.
If they're going to skip a start, do it against the White Sox. You should be able to throw Luis Ortiz out there or the bullpen game and be able to beat them.
Maybe I'm just paranoid, but just because you're paranoid doesn't mean somebody's not out to get you. So that thought occurred to me that the Pirates could drop far enough back to justify not only no movement, but becoming a seller. Does that paranoid thought strike you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think they're going to get swept in Atlanta, just because when you see Paul Skeens pitching in a series, you never think that they're going to lose that game, at least going into it, even if you're going up against an ace on the other side. But it's going to prove a lot against St. Louis, Milwaukee, and the Grimace-led Mets, because the wild card race is going to start shaking itself out, where everybody a couple weeks ago, was like one game separated 9 teams.
This is it. I know we keep saying that, but the All-Star break's coming. This stretch of baseball, 13 games at Atlanta, 3. Home against St. Louis, 3. the red hot Mets 4 and at division leader Milwaukee. If they could just tread water, what did I say, 13 games? I think 7-6, 6-7 is about the minimum there. But if they go something like 4-9, and by the way, right at this time last year is when the season fell apart. Yes. They were 38-42, one game different from this year, and they lost 12 of 15, and there went your season.
July was a disaster.
Maybe I'm just paranoid. Could very well be. Here's the thing about Skeens. He should be like 6-0 at least. He's gotten no decisions in games where he went 7 innings, 1 earned run, 6 1/3, no earned runs, and two other games where he was really, really good and got a no decision.
He has never left the game with the Pirates trailing.
His worst game was his first game.
Yeah. With the walk disaster.
Do we have a clip coming up from Carl Ravitch? Did you get that one off McAfee?
I have it.
He had an unbelievable line on Skeens. Let's play that next.
And we also have a Pirate coming up at about 12:35.
Who's that?
Do we want a radio tease or to announce it?
Let's do a radio tease.
Do a radio tease.
If it's the guy you asked for,
I'm very... Ooh! It's the guy I asked for.
This is incrinculant. Incredible. Yeah. Incorrigible.
I just heard back from the Pirates.
All right. I'm excited about that. Very excited. We'll announce that next.